You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, Director of Lay Ministry Formation for the Archdiocese of Chicago, co-hosting with Wayne Majars, Vice President and Chief of Staff for the President of Loyola University.
Good morning,
Graziano.
How are you? Nice to see you.
I'm very good.
It's been a while since we've worked together.
Too long.
It has, yes.
But I've been learning all kinds of interesting things about you.
And I always like to be here when you're here because I know I'm going to get an even take at this next hour on the air, and I'm not going to get grief from our typical co-host, Father Greg Sackwitz, who I believe is on another vacation today.
No. Probably on a well-earned vacation. Okay.
We'll go with your description.
Okay. The ditch digging that he normally has to do. Actually, we have one of his parishioners here today. We want to welcome to the program two people who are going to be telling us about an exciting series of events coming up within the life of the Archdiocese. Catholics Praying for Racial Justice. Let me tell you a little bit about it. Catholics Praying for Racial Justice is an initiative of Catholics United for Racial Justice and the Office for Racial Justice. These are going to be pilgrimages in each of the six vicariates during which groups will travel by bus to several churches where they will participate in short programs of prayer, scripture reading, witnessing, and silence. So we want to welcome to the studio Michael Rabbit, who is a member of Catholics United for Racial Justice, the chair of the Racial and Social Justice Committee at his parish, St. Mary of the Woods, Father Greg's home parish, and he also has helped to plan these pilgrimages. And we also want to welcome Dorothy May, Double Trouble Thomas. We'll talk about that, who is also a member of Catholics United for Racial Justice and on the planning committee for the vicariate events. She's a member of St. Jude Thaddeus Parish. Welcome.
Thank you.
Dorothy May.
Yes.
Dorothy May had the misfortune. I mean, the good
fortune.
How
did you get that label, Dorothy May?
He'll describe.
Okay. Oh, no. I have nothing to do with it.
I was given that title because, just like I'm in this group now, if issues came up, I got in it, deep in it.
Right. If issues came up, Dorothy spoke up. That's a good thing. That's a great thing.
Yeah.
Obviously, we all know that racial issues are very much alive, even in this 21st century. Tell us what you're trying to accomplish through these series of pilgrimages.
Well, the purpose of this is what our group was formed for, which is continue to raise the awareness of racial issues. It's something that, quite frankly, people do not want to talk about typically, but it's still quite prevalent in our communities and society and in the church. So one of the things we always wanted to strive to do is keep this on the forefront, raise the awareness through educational events such as this. This is one of a series of events we've done over the last few years. We've tried to introduce some variety in the events. A couple years ago, we had Susan O'Halloran, who's a noted storyteller, do a storytelling performance at different parishes throughout the vicariates around the Cardinal's pastoral letter, Dwell in My Love.
How was that received? I remember reading about that and very much wanting to participate and then never being able to make the time.
It went very well. I mean, we got great reviews from on Susan's work, and again, it was just a different way of presenting the topic in a way people could understand it, and then there were questions and dialogue sessions that followed, and we started brainstorming around how can we continue to do these types of things, and following the brainstorming session, we said, let's just do a prayer service, a prayer vigil kind of thing, and turn it into a pilgrimage where we can actually involve multiple parishes.
Dorothy, there's a lot of discussion on racial justice in the media, in the general public sphere, but it takes on a different dimension, does it not, when we look at the subject of racial justice and social issues in the context of the Catholic faith and in the context of a faith community?
Yes, it does. This is why we're trying to do it through prayer, since we are a prayer group. We want to make sure that we address these issues very carefully, not to offend anyone in any religion. And we got to make sure that it stays within our public, whereas with the media, with all the political that's going on in our world at this time. So we have to bridge those two together to make sure that comes out
correctly. That's no easy task, because there's a lot of noise, if you will, out there right now on racial. I mean, if you just look in the last few days with all of the issues related to what's going on at Burr Oak Cemetery, you know, we're all reading about it, we're all seeing pictures, and we're poised for what's next in this, because it will rise, no question about it, over the next days and weeks to issues of racial justice, related to racial justice, right, Michael?
Yeah, I mean, really, if you look at what goes on in our world, despite the assertions of many people that racism is no longer with us, that we've reached some sort of state of nirvana because we have an African-American president or for other reasons, the truth is racism remains with us today, and that's one of the reasons we want to raise this awareness. I mean, if you just look at what the story you mentioned, but of course in today's papers and what's been in the media the last few 24 hours is the issue of the swimming pool situation.
Exactly. Yes.
You know,
yeah.
These African-American kids were expelled from this pool for no other reason that they were black. And so it's things like this that happen a lot more than people realize. And that's one of the reasons we want to continue praying for an end to this sort of thing.
Of course, we know that questions of race can often be polarizing, and people take opposite sides. And yet, no one can argue against the need for justice for all people. And it seems to me that there's a great wisdom behind approaching it in the way that you're doing it here through prayer. You can't get polarized by prayer. You know, you're bringing people together, and obviously you're not blinding yourselves to these other issues that do matter and that will become battlegrounds on some occasions. But you're doing this particular event in a way that can bring everyone together.
Yes. Yes, correct.
That's a good point, because the you know, some of the things we've done, like we had a unity rally, which actually was the event prior to the Susan O'Halloran storytelling, and that was entitled A Unity Rally, Bringing People Together. So, you know, it was presented in, like you said, a non-polarizing way, a way that can pull people together for a common cause that is important to all of us.
That's right. Now, Dorothy, you're a person of color, so, okay, it makes sense that here you are, and this is an issue that obviously hits very close to home for you. Michael, what got you so invested in this particular cause?
Well, I'd had a great interest in the subject for many years. And when I moved to Chicago about 16 years ago, fortunate timing that the Archdiocese was just starting up these workshops on racism and ethnic sensitivity. And I went to one of those workshops, and it was a great outlet for my concerns. And I continued to do the workshops. One of the opportunities the Archdiocese provides is people who attend the workshops can then get trained to run workshops for other parishes. So folks like Dorothy and myself have done that. And in fact, that's what led to the creation of Catholics United for Racial Justice. People who attended these workshops who were really passionate about the subject, but they wanted to do more. And so this group was then formed. And one of the things we chartered was continuing to schedule and plan events to bring this to the whole Archdiocese.
We're talking about the upcoming Catholics Praying for Racial Justice pilgrimage that's going to be going on through Vicariate One in the various parishes with Michael Rabbit and Dorothy Mae Thomas. You're listening to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. I'm Wayne Madjars, along with Graziano Marchesky, and we'll be right back.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page. your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
In our next few issues of the Catholic New World, enjoy our Finding Grace series, The Seven Deadly Sins and Their Heavenly Virtues.
Visit our website at www.catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777.
Better than ever, subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection." There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Mawusi, a retreat for anyone who ministers in Black Catholic communities, means in the hand of God. Mawusi is designed especially for men and women, religious, lay ministers, deacons, catechists, RCIA leaders, lectors, and youth ministers. This retreat is a time for catechetical and spiritual formation, transformation, inspiration, and relaxation. Come and experience the richness of African American spirituality and culture. The Mawusi Retreat will be held Friday, July 24th to Sunday, July 26th at the Techne Towers Retreat Center, 2001 Waukegan Road in Techne, Illinois. For more information, contact the Office for Catechesis and Youth Ministry at 312-534-8040. That's 312-534-8040 to register for the Mawusi Retreat.
It's Friday in Chicago, 9:12 in the morning. You're listening to Catholic Radio, Catholic Community of Faith, the voice of the Catholic Archdiocese of Chicago. We're thrilled to be with you. Thank you for making time in your day to be with us. We're talking this morning about a very important topic, the cause of racial justice, something that's a responsibility for all of us. We're talking with Dorothy Mae Thomas of St. Jude Thaddeus Parish and Michael Rabbit from St. Mary of the Woods Parish, two people who are giving their time to help put together an important event in the life of the diocese, Catholics Praying for Racial Justice, a series of pilgrimages in each of the six vicariates. We talked earlier about, we haven't reached the promised land. Just because Barack Obama is now the president doesn't mean that all these racial issues have been fixed. I know in conversations with my own son, sometimes he struggles to understand these realities. He sees the recent New Haven case with the firefighters and, you know, how that was reversed. And sometimes he thinks, well, maybe, Dad, things have gone too far the other way. And I always say to him, you know, son, you have to understand the history. You have to, unless you've seen racial injustice, prejudice up close, you don't understand where it's coming from. And for most of us, we haven't seen it. Dorothy Mae, I suspect that you have.
Yes, I have.
Tell us a little bit about some of your experience.
I remember one very clearly at the age of 9, a summer program that was introduced to Madden Park, and the Catholic schools in the area gave their time, the nuns and the priests. I met Father Burns at that time, and he was giving us probably Bible class or whatever, but he mistreated us as Black children at that time. It was Black. And we did have other races mixed in this summer program, and he made such a difference in mistreating us as Black children, and I it just amazed me. I couldn't do but stand and look, but I really took in his words, his actions, and I never forgot him. I mean, it was, you don't treat animals and talk to animals in that fashion, and we couldn't do anything about it. We were taught to behave by an instructor. But she took care of it, and I would not like to say on air how she did it. But I met him years later, and I reminded him of the incident, and he was so apologetic. He was very, very, he was very sad about it. And I was glad that I had an opportunity to say something about it, and he apologized, and that's all could be done.
Did that experience, Dorothy, shake or question your faith at the time? Do you recall back on how it affected your faith in God, your faith in Jesus, your beliefs?
Now, what's interesting, at that time I was a Baptist. I always wanted to be Catholic. I didn't experience that type of thing in the Baptist arena, but I did in the Catholic. And I say, they supposed to be holding it out. So no, that didn't. That only made me be more aware, and it was something had to be done, and I just wanted to see if I could be.
And yet somehow you still came into the church.
It didn't turn me off from the church. That was one person. And we were always taught you don't group everyone in that one pot.
Praise God that you had the grace to be that wise even as a child.
Yes, I said, oh, everyone couldn't be like that.
Yeah.
And I was just determined to be a Catholic.
Michael, tell us some specifics about these pilgrimages. Tell us about the structure. Tell us about what's going to happen. And especially tell us about how people can find out more information and sign up to participate.
Sure. Let me start with that last part first. Dwellinmylove.org is the website for the Office for Racial Justice.
Tell us again.
Dwellinmylove.org. And all the information is available there. What we're going to be doing is for each vicariate, there's 3 to 4 parishes that are going to be featured. And people who want to attend can either go to one church or they can go to all by taking a bus so they can actually be part of the pilgrimage. Once we get to each church, the schedule of events will include an introduction by the pastor or a parish representative. We're going to talk about the reason for the pilgrimage, why it's important, do an opening song, opening prayer. There'll be a scripture reading. Somebody from our group, Catholics United for Racial Justice, will be there to talk about why this is important, why we do the work that we do. We'll have a moment of silence and a closing prayer and song. And again, then people can kind of continue to other stops if they choose.
And I'm assuming the reflections that will be offered will be specifically on issues of racial justice?
That's correct.
And will they be springing from the particular scripture that's been chosen at each site?
That's right.
It seems to me that one of the challenges in shaping a program like this is breaking down, if you will, the natural segregation that exists among the various parishes in an archdiocese as big and diverse as Chicago. When you're talking about dialogue about racial justice, I would bet that some parish faith communities are better at it, if you will. They're more sensitized to the issues than others are. Is that one of the challenges of really beginning to shape a program like this, is trying to kind of get your arms around, A, the diversity of an archdiocese as large as Chicago, and then B, the fact that the church locally is segregated?
Yeah.
Michael, Dorothy?
Correct. It's interesting. I'm in the Knights and Ladies of Peter Claver, which I travel, get an opportunity to travel all over the United States, and we have some out of the United States. And that's all Catholic. I was part of the Black Catholic Congress, which was not only all black, but it was a mixture because they came from all over the world. And it was so much in that. And with those workshops and those cardinals and bishops trying to stay on the topics of all of this that we're discussing now and going through prayer, it's really big, and hopefully that our committee can put a little dent.
We need to move to a quick break. You're listening to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio. I'm Graziano Marcheschi with Wayne Majars. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
time now for a Catholic Festival of Faith news update.
Online registration is now being accepted for this two-day celebration of our faith, scheduled for the Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont on October 16th and 17th. Go to www.catholicfest.org to register and to learn about the speakers, activities, and entertainment being planned. That's www.catholicfest.org.
Stay tuned to Relevant Radio for more Catholic Festival of Faith news updates.
Catholic Charities is providing community health fairs with free medical services to residents of Chicago and the suburbs. Our next fair is scheduled for Saturday, August 22nd at St. Francis of Rome, 1500 South 59th Court in Cicero. The health fairs are open to the public and offer various medical screenings, dental exams, immunizations, and general physicals for adults and children. Local social service providers will be in attendance, offering a one-stop shop approach for families in need of assistance. Volunteers are needed to do a variety of tasks at the fairs, including helping to register participants and guide them from station to station. Please call 312-655-7298 for more information. That's 312-655-7298. We hope you take advantage of our Catholic Charities Community Health Fairs.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 a.m. on a Friday morning in Chicago, talking about the Catholics Praying for Racial Justice pilgrimages that are going to be beginning here throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago in August, at the end of August, the first one being in Vicariate 1 starting Sunday, August 30th with Michael Rabbit and Dorothy Mae Thomas. Michael, during the break, we were talking about how do we know the extent of racial justice issues that are still out there? How do we really have at least one barometer of how people feel about various issues that come up in the news? And you mentioned that one way to take the temperature of this is via technology, looking at what people say on blogs, looking at what people Twitter to one another. Comment about that.
Yeah, so as I mentioned earlier, there are so many stories and examples of racial injustice in our world. And what I've noticed is you go online to read about these stories, almost every story today is accompanied by a blog or ability to post comments. And if you look at those comments, most of which are anonymous, it's amazing what you see, the hate and vileful comments that are made. I mean, give you an example, just the Pennsylvania story, the pool. I mean, I looked at a couple stories there, and as I looked at the comments, I saw just as many people posting comments saying, good for these people kicking the kids out, as people who said that was a bad thing. And, you know, that it is just so common, and it's not just, you know, white supremacist types saying this types of thing. These are everyday citizens. And it's really disheartening.
Dorothy, how would you say we are doing, and even if you had to put on one of Gratz's hat as an academic, as a teacher, give us a grade, how would you say we are doing as an archdiocese, as a faith community in Chicago, in addressing, dealing with, confronting issues of racial justice? Are we making progress? Are we paying it lip service? Are we, through programs like this, making some substantive headway?
I think we are making progress. I truly believe it, because it has reached out, like I say, over the United States through the different, like Knights of Peter Claver, because they're on the same, through Bishop Perry, mm-hmm. they're on the same page that the Chicago Archdiocese. We are making it, just baby steps, unfortunate. But these type of workshops, whether it's through the Archdiocese or different parishes, having them on their own, because St. Philip Neri have some for the teens, and it is making a difference. You may not see it, but it does make a difference.
The anonymity provided by something like a blog,
you know, as you said, Michael, does allow those deep-seated biases to surface. And then, you know, you wonder, is there really progress? But I'm sure that there is. Obviously, there are opportunities available today that there weren't in the past. What I'm interested in hearing is, how do we continue the progress? you know, especially in a parish setting. The people listening to us right now are faith-filled Catholics who I'm sure care about these kinds of things. They live in parishes. Michael, you come from a, you know, a very solidly maybe a little more than middle-class parish, and you've invested a great deal of time and effort in this. How would you encourage other people to do what you're doing, and what kinds of strategies can they employ in their parishes to start making more of a difference?
I think it's giving people the opportunity to talk about it. So you talk about the anonymous comments in the blogs. Let's get that discussion into a live setting, into a workshop that we offer. So we're constantly stressing the availability of these workshops, whether they're the parish-level workshops, which focus more on awareness, or the Archdiocese offers workshops that get a little bit more in-depth into institutional racism, which is something else that we have to talk about. We always talk about individual cases, but, you know, societies, we still have structural issues to this, dimensions to this issue. And you look at the broad disparities in almost every key aspect of life, whether it's employment, housing, health, wealth, the inequities are still very dramatic. So we've made progress, but until we close the gap on those things, you know, we're not there. And so I think it comes down to individuals like us having individual conversations with people, encouraging them to learn the history, as you talked about, and that we have ways to educate people and have the dialogue.
You know, something is bugging me, and I have to bring it up, because even in my parish, and I've seen it in other parishes across the Archdiocese, are we serving this whole topic of racial justice well by creating specialized groups that talk and meet about the faith? Black Catholics for X, Hispanic Catholics for Y, Asian Catholics for Z. It just seems to me that maybe, and I'd like to get your reaction to this, maybe that doesn't help. And maybe we need to do more things together, recognizing our similarities rather than focusing on or segregating our differences. Dorothy, what do you think?
I sort of agree, because I think that the Black Catholic, I think they took the word away because I was on the advisory board. And I think they wanted to take that title away to make it more united. That may or may not help, but I think it's something to try. Like you say, the different races are broke down by their race, yeah, or whatever. Yeah. And I think it need to be kind of erased a little bit. Yeah. Yes.
You know, I struggle with that same issue. So often the emphasis is on the differences when actually there's a lot more in common. There's a lot more that unites us. But can we do without some of both? Don't we need to do some of the X and Y and Z as well as the to bring these issues to the surface, to give them a voice so that at least we know what the problems are?
Yeah, a couple things. I mean, people talk about why do we have a Black History Month? And the answer I usually give is that because every month is White History Month, and until we can say that every month is our history represents all cultures and races, you know, then we're at the point we need to be, but we're not there. And as long as racism is an issue, I think different minority groups have to represent themselves the way that you described. The other thing is, I don't think anybody's asking, you know, this sort of gets into this whole melting pot discussion. You know, I prefer the example of a salad bowl or a mosaic where, you know, everybody's individual culture and characteristics are still kept alive, and that you don't have to necessarily blend everything into the white norm. And today the white norm is still dominates our society.
Well, there certainly are many miles to go before any of us can sleep on this particular issue, but God bless you all for taking this giant step in terms of forming this Catholics Praying for Racial Justice, a series of pilgrimages. You can find out more about them because they're going to continue through September and October on the Archdiocesan website under the upcoming events section, and that's www.archchicago.org. We want to thank Dorothy Mae Thomas and Michael Rabbit for your generosity and your commitment and courage in facing this issue. God bless you. Stay with us after this short break. We'll come back with a talk about our Blessed Mother Mary and apparitions throughout the world. Don't go away.
Who do you know in their 20s or 30s? Adult children, grandchildren, colleagues, neighbors, and friends.
The Archdiocese of Chicago is offering something just for them. It's called Theology on Tap.
We all know people who aren't as connected to the church as we wish they were. We also know young adults who are very connected, sharing their gifts in many ways.
Whatever their situation, however connected they are, let's take it to the next level. Theology on Tap is a speaker and discussion series exclusively for people in their 20s and 30s, married and single. It's an opportunity for them to
meet good people their own age,
to deepen their faith and spirituality,
to make connections between faith and everyday life,
and explore the things that matter most.
It's an opportunity for all of us to share the Catholic faith with them, so they, in turn, can pass it along to their children.
We encourage you to personally invite every young adult you know to Theology on Tap. It begins July 12th at 42 locations throughout the Chicagoland area.
Details can be found at yamchicago.org.
That's yamchicago.org.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son is in the number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
It's 9:32 on this Friday morning in Chicago. You're listening to the Catholic Community of Faith, the voice of the Catholic Archdiocese of Chicago. We're delighted to be here with you today. It's not just TGIF, it's TGIT every day. So thank God it's today day. We are...
Did you just make that up or have you used that before?
I used it okay. A couple of times, only on this show, though.
I see, okay.
Thank God it's today. We're going to shift gears and move to a topic that's very near and dear to my heart. I have to confess it's one of my favorite topics. We're going to talk about the Blessed Mother. She's one of the things that makes us distinctively Catholic, and I'm glad to see that some of our Protestant brothers and sisters are beginning to recognize the importance of Mary in the life of the Church. We want to welcome to the studio Maura Smith, who is a documentarian who just completed a documentary called Apparition, which is about the apparitions of Mary seen around the world. And soon, there will be a premiere of Apparition, which will be held at Holy Name Cathedral Parish Center Wednesday at 6 p.m., this coming Wednesday, August the 5th. So it's about a little less than a month away. We're going to tell you a little bit more about that. In addition to Maura, we have her sister, Suzanne Smith, who works here for the Archdiocese as Assistant Director of the Vocation Office, and Ara Cook, who is Chair of Evangelization and Spiritual Life Commission, the sponsoring organization of this video. Welcome to you all.
Well, thank you very much. Good way to start the weekend.
It is a great way to start the weekend. Maura, tell us, first of all, how your interest in Mary and Marian apparitions came about.
I saw Song of Bernadette when I was about...
A formative experience in many of our lives, no doubt.
The media.
And I spent probably when I was 10 years old, I probably spent every weekend going to a little creek in Homewood, Illinois, waiting for the Blessed Mother to come and appear to me. And so I guess it came back to me, you know, when I was in my 50s thinking, oh, yeah, that meant a lot to me.
Well, that's excellent. That's excellent. I think that movie won the best movie of the year, didn't it?
I'm not sure if it was.
She won Best Actress.
She did win Best Actress.
I knew there was a best of some kind.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
Yeah.
It's held up.
So what did you do? What's in this documentary film that you made?
Okay, so some things I did is it started in India, is where I got my inspiration. I was in India, and I went around, I interviewed ladies or people that I'd heard had had apparitions. And from there, it just kind of kept growing. You know, when I was in Lourdes, somebody said, oh, you've got to go see this person. You know, and then I was in Lourdes for about 10 days. Oh, and then you've got to go see this person. And then I went to Coimbra, where Sister Lucia had just recently died. And then it became...
Sister Lucia is?
I'm sorry. Sister Lucia is one of the visionaries who from Fatima.
Right.
And she was the only one that was really living for quite a long time after the Fatima apparitions. But I'd just like to say my favorite thing of the film is the first line. And it's hard to hear because it was on a camera in India, and it was a small camera, and it really wasn't a professional quality. But I still had to say the line. The line says, for those of you who don't believe in apparitions, I don't blame you. But that doesn't mean they're not happening.
That's a great line. You know, let's not assume that everyone listening this morning is clear on an apparition, because unfortunately, through the media, especially of late, every water stain under a bridge or a viaduct is misinterpreted as an apparition. And the fact of the matter is that there have been, nearly 300 over the course of time that have been officially reported, and really only about a dozen or so that have been truly documented as apparitions. So let's talk a little bit about what makes an apparition. Who wants to jump in, Suzanne?
And not being a theologian, I feel unqualified, but the way I understand is the church actually decides.
Yes.
If it's an authentic apparition. And even when they decide that, we have no obligation to believe it. You know, that's not dogma. That's just, it's legitimate. Nothing that's being said there or done there is in contradiction to the faith. And there are other ones that have not been authenticated yet, like in the case of Medjugorje, because it's still an ongoing apparition. So somebody is receiving, you know, some sort of vision or location of where Mary is giving messages. And with the case of Medjugorje, it's still out how it's going to happen, but they still allow people to go and visit there because the fruits have been so good. But they can't make a decision on whether it's authentic or not till Mary stops appearing there.
Can I just back up, say one other thing about that? Just what I heard, you know, in some of my dealings with people, is a visionary, there's the difference between a vision and an apparition. An apparition is three-dimensional, and it's a real person living, breathing in your space. And these other things, like the toast, you know, the Blessed Mother appearing on the toast, that would be like just an image. It's not a talking image. It's not telling you anything. But these apparitions are, you know, really you're being told something by the Blessed Mother.
So there's an actual encounter
with
the Blessed Mother. It's not just seeing some picture of her.
It's not a vague image. From everybody that's had an apparition, it's somebody really in the room with them, a flesh, you know, flesh. And one person was given a rosary.
Ara, what's your connection with this whole effort here?
Well, we are the sponsoring organization of the event that will show the film at Holy Name on August 5th. I'm a member of the Evangelization and Spiritual Life Commission at the Cathedral, and as you may well be aware, we are in the midst of an emergency appeal trying to raise funds to help defray the costs of repairing the roof from the structural damage from last year. And I thought it would be nice if the commission could sponsor an event that would donate some money to that. And I was going to ask my commission members for ideas. And at that very same time, Suzanne approached me and said, well, my sister has made this film about apparitions of Mary, and we thought we could show it in the auditorium
charge a nominal fee, and then perhaps afterwards have a little reception, which will allow people to talk to Maura, who made the film, and have the opportunity to buy the DVD so they can have it for their own. So it just fell into my lap, and it's such a perfect fit for us because it enriches the spiritual life of our parishioners and the whole archdiocese, anyone who would attend. That's part of our mission. Plus, one of the events that Holy Name does, that the Evangelization and Spiritual Life Commission does every year, is the May crowning. So we have this special connection with Mary. And I thought, it couldn't be more perfect.
And you get high marks for the marketing slogan, too, Raise the Roof with Mary, too. A nice tie-in between Maura's film.
I hope it's so successful it brings the roof down.
Wrong
metaphor. I'm sorry.
Raises the roof.
On that note, we need to go to a break. You're listening to Catholic Community of Faith. We're going to continue our conversation about Marian apparitions right after this short announcements. Don't go away.
The Chicago Catholic Scripture School is now accepting applications for classes starting in September throughout the Archdiocese. This is our Bible study program for adults. Students come together weekly to pray and study the Word of God with teachers who are themselves strong Catholics with an extensive background in Scripture and theology. Year 1 classes will be held at St. Anne's in Barrington, St. Joseph in Libertyville, St. Julie Billiard in Tinley Park, St. Teresa of Avila in Lincoln Park, and St. Philip Neri in the South Shore neighborhood. There will be a year 1 class in Spanish at St. Cecilia in Mount Prospect and Precious Blood on Chicago's west side. And our first scripture school in Polish will be held at St. Hyacinth Basilica. For more information or to register for the Chicago Catholic Scripture School, visit www.catechesis-chicago.org or call 312-534-8053, that's 312-534-8053, and www.catechesis-chicago.org.
The Archdiocese of Chicago has launched a blog and wants you to join in the conversation. Here's Cardinal Francis George talking about modern communications.
Church was in radio when it first started and then television. Now with the blogs and the internet and all, the church has to be there too for the same reason St. Paul was in the town square in Athens and Corinth, the Areopagus, where people would come together and listen to everybody talk. Well, that Areopagus is now electronic.
Cardinal George will rotate with other archdiocesan leaders in posting their thoughts on faith-based topics and taking part in this electronic dialogue. Visit our blog at www.archchicago.org. Read what Catholic leaders have to say and become part of the discussion. That's www.archchicago.org. We hope to hear from you soon.
We'll see how this works. I'm curious myself. I'm looking forward to it.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. Maura Smith, Suzanne Smith, and Ara Cook, our guests for this portion of the program, talking about the new documentary called Apparition, which will have its debut at Holy Name Cathedral's Parish Center on August 5th at 6 p.m. Tickets are just $10. We'll take more because this is a very important fundraiser benefit, one of many to help defray the costs of the repairs of Holy Name Cathedral here in the Archdiocese of Chicago. And Maura, as the documentarian that put this together, you traveled all over the world to begin to assemble this story, this documentary. Tell us a little bit about where you went and how you decided to go where you did.
Well, I started in India because I was living in India, and I went to Vilankani, which is called the Lourdes of India. It's beautiful, and it's a big space and lots of churches. I went many places, and my goal of making this film, which I don't know if I achieved the goal, and you can come see it and tell me personally if I achieved the goal, was to prove that Mary is appearing all over the world, not just to Lourdes or Fatima, one of the Indian priests they interview, who's a Jesuit, I loved his interview. He said, why would I be interested in apparitions? She's only appearing to white people, not dark people like me.
Mm. What about our Lady of Guadalupe?
Well, I didn't bring that up. I didn't fight it out with him.
Never fight with a Jesuit.
Right. Well, I thought I'd let him give his interview and have his opinion said. So I started in India, and then from India I went to Medjugorje, and then Lourdes, Fatima. I went to Damascus, which I was terrified for some reason, which was so unjustified, and I feel badly that I felt that way. I was scared to go to Syria, you know, because it was the beginning of the Iraq War, and met this wonderful woman who's had apparitions, and just talking with her was one of the most inspirational moments, you know, and she clearly says Mary is with us always, and that we have to pray from our heart, and God is always listening. And those are great messages to keep remembering about.
I have about six questions I want to ask you, so
okay,
I'm going to talk fast.
Okay.
One is, now I lost them all, Valankani, thank you.
I'm not sure.
I bet most people are like myself, have no clue what that apparition was all about.
It was some Portuguese fishermen were drowning, and they prayed to the Blessed Mother, and they were saved. And just to tell you another little story about Valankani, I was in India when the tsunami hit. I was very near where the tsunami hit. I was about 100 miles from it. And Valankani, I had been to Valankani, and then after the tsunami, I went back to Valankani, and the waves of the tsunami came exactly up to the door of the basilica.
Wow.
And stopped right there.
Wow.
You know, and they really all talk about that.
All right. During the break, we were also talking about people are hungry for things of faith, but sometimes they're hungry for these supernatural manifestations. You know, there may not be a whole lot of depth to the faith. They're just looking for the fireworks. What persuades you that these apparitions you've investigated are not just people, you know, trying so hard to find the supernatural that they manufacture them? What persuades you that this is really the Mother of God coming with a divine message for us?
There are some people that I did interview that are on the cutting room floor.
Yeah.
That I decided I just didn't trust their authenticity. Just me internally decided.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it has nothing to do with them. It's just my gut level, and I thought, you know, I'm going to put the people in this film because it's my film. I paid for it. I made it.
Yeah.
I'm going to put in the people that I feel legitimately have something to say.
All right. Now, that's my other question. A few years between that 9-year-old watching The Song of Bernadette and the 50-something-year-old woman who, you know, set out on this journey of documenting these apparitions, what got you to the point of wanting to make this? You just mentioned you funded this yourself. That's quite an investment. I know how much it costs just to do 1 minute of video kind of work. Where did all this come from, you know, on your journey? What finally persuaded you that you needed to put this much time and effort into documenting these apparitions?
Well, I decided I was going to make a feature film. I had made one quite a few years ago, and I decided I was going to do one of my own feature scripts. And I had sent them to my son, who was living at the time in India, and I sent him a couple of copies of scripts, and I said, do you have an idea of which one you think I should do? And he came back from India, and I go, oh, did you ever get a chance to look at those scripts and, you know, kind of give me an idea of what one you like? And he said, Mom, do something you really care about.
It's a good answer.
Right.
And then it became Mary.
And then it became Mary.
Ara, as the person who chairs the Evangelization and Spiritual Life Commission at Holy Cathedral, you mentioned that when this idea came to your group, it clicked and it was the perfect fit for the kind of work that your commission does at Holy Name. Talk a little bit about how that came about and how your commission kind of sees this as being part and parcel to the work that they do at Holy Name Cathedral.
One of our goals is to enrich the spiritual life of our parishioners, and this is really geared toward three audiences. One, those who already have a devotion to Mary are going to be enriched by this film. Those who are skeptical about apparitions are, I think, going to be convinced because the people that Maura features on the film are regular people. also experts, but everything is presented in a very straightforward manner. You don't have choirs of angels behind. It's very believable. And then there are people like me for whom apparitions are not on the radar screen. Now I can't stop thinking about Mary. So, in other words, everyone is going to benefit from this film. I hope everyone will give it some thought to attend. And that's what we do when we evangelize and address the spiritual life of our
parishioners. And I would imagine that when those three groups come together after seeing the documentary, there's going to be some rich discussion from different angles about what they saw and experienced as part of this.
Absolutely. So. Prove it, or I was so touched. I was watching the film, and about halfway through, I started crying. I thought, what am I doing crying this film about apparitions? But I realized worldwide, people love Mary. What a wonderful unifier for us all. Not just Catholics. I thought we had ownership of Mary. But we don't. Muslims. I learned in the film, Muslims honor Mary. And there's so much divisiveness now, but this, our belief in the Blessed Mother.
And let's pick up on that theme when we come back about how broad-reaching, really, this is this is going to be for all of us who see it. We're talking about the upcoming documentary called Apparition with Maura Smith, Suzanne Smith, and Ira Cook. You're listening to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM, and we'll be right back.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
Would you like to discuss faith-based issues with Cardinal George and other archdiocesan leaders? Stick around. We'll tell you about our newly launched blog. We'll visit with two organizers of the Catholic Festival of Faith and tell you how to register for this wonderful October event. And Catholic school children put their artistic talents to good use by drawing anti-drug messages. These stories and more are coming your way in this latest edition of The Church, the Cardinal, and You.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You. Compelling television about your Archdiocese.
Catholic Charities' 12th Annual Golf Invitational will be held this year on July 22nd at Cog Hill in Lamont, Illinois. This year, players will have the chance to golf on the newly renovated Dubs Dread course. Contest holes will be spread throughout the day to challenge players, including a contest to outdrive Sister Mary Ann Dosen, a nun with a great swing, and chances to meet local celebrities, including former White Sox player Ron Kittle. This year, more than ever, families are turning to Catholic Charities in their time of need. Your participation in the Golf Invitational can help a family prevent homelessness after losing a job or feed their family if they're having trouble making ends meet. All proceeds go to benefit Catholic Charities Family Services programs. Book your foursome today by calling 312-948-6797. That's 312-948-6797. For more information, visit us on the web at www.catholiccharities.net.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, Director of Lay Ministry Formation, co-hosting with Wayne Majars. We're talking about Mary on this Friday morning in Chicago. It's always a good day to talk about the Blessed Mother. And we're talking about it with the Smith sisters, not to be confused with the Smith brothers. They're not selling cough drops. But they're pushing our Blessed Mother through a wonderful video that Maura has created, a documentary about Marian apparitions. We also have Ira Cook from the Holy Name Cathedral. And you folks are doing this great event to help raise the roof, put that roof of the cathedral back up after the recent fire. Suzanne, you had some ideas about how to everybody listening can help support this effort.
I just want to briefly say one of the ways this project came about is I was sitting in front of the Blessed Sacrament. I said, I need a gift for my sister for her birthday on May 30th, and I need some ideas about raising money for Holy Name. And as I was there, I got the inspiration, okay, we'll do the screening of Maura's film, and then, you know, we'll raise money. So that's where the idea came from. But what our plan is there's 600 people we can put in the auditorium, and our plan is to fill it. I mean, that's what we really think Mary wants to have happen. So we want this to be an archdiocese-wide event. We know not everybody come, but what we would really ask is everybody who's coming, and even everyone in the archdiocese, please consider saying a rosary every day that we fill the auditorium. It will make a difference not only for raising the roof at Holy Name, but it will also make a difference in everybody's life. And they'll know how much the Blessed Mother loves them, know how much her son Jesus loves them, and that's what we really want.
It's a brilliant idea, obviously divinely inspired. So how can it go wrong? Right. Only 10 measly dollars to attend this event. Of course, as Wayne pointed out,
we'll take more.
Thank you, Wayne.
Now, if someone like myself, I want a copy of this video. How can someone purchase a copy for themselves if they want to be able to view it at home or share it with their friends?
It's on Amazon.com, and it's called Apparition. There's no S, but probably it would still show up with the S.
So you can just go to Amazon and type in Apparition. It'll come up?
Yep.
And what does it cost?
It costs $18 on Amazon, but $15 if you come to Holy Name on August 5th.
All right.
So. And that will be all to benefit Holy Name Cathedral. So Maura's donating the DVDs for the event.
Oh, praise
Wonderful.
God. Whoa. So somehow God has been good to you, and you're giving that goodness right back.
I hope so.
Yeah. Tell us about your favorite apparition site. Do you have one?
That's tough. I'll be honest, that's tough. I can tell you my favorite visionary, and it's just because she was so dynamic and so special. She's from Slovakia. I still keep track with her. You know, we still connect. I saw her in London a couple months ago. Her name's Iveta. And when she was 14, she started seeing the Blessed Mother with another friend. And she's just so dynamic. And she said a great thing. She said, I came back and told my mother, you know, that I had seen this beautiful lady. And her mother said, I think you're crazy in your head. And what proved to the mother that she probably had seen the Blessed Mother, she goes, she had this thing in her hand. I don't know what it is. It was like these beads. I've never seen it. And what is it? She goes, oh, her mother said, oh, that's a rosary. It's what old people do. They pray that. And she said, if you just teach me how to pray it, I'll stop talking about the apparition.
So is this an authenticated apparition?
Well, it's kind of complicated because once somebody declares they've had an apparition, usually the Catholic Church tells them to, or they connect with this priest I met in France, Abbé Laurentine. And Abbé Laurentine goes and interviews the people who have said they've had apparitions. Mm-hmm. So he kind of validates whether he thinks they're accurate.
So you're introducing people not only to the long-standing and authenticated sites like Lourdes and Fatima, but you're also introducing some of these newer sites and visionaries.
Not the sites. I'm introducing the visionaries.
The visionaries.
Yeah.
Our evangelization is not an easy job at any at any parish, especially one is the size and diversity of Holy Name Cathedral. We've got 30 seconds left, but this is kind of a good fit for your work, as you mentioned earlier today. Kind of exciting what's going to come out of all this. You mentioned before the skeptics, those who are devoted to Mary, and the dialogue after that. We'd maybe come back and revisit this again and see how it all went as far as a conversation after everyone experienced the documentary.
That would be wonderful. Evangelization is kind of a scary word. You picture someone knocking on your door and dragging you back to Christ. You're evangelized if you are more fully participating in your religion, and that's all that we're after.
Well, we want to thank all of our guests today, Maura Smith, Suzanne Smith, and Ara Cook, Maura, who is the documentarian who put this together. We also want to thank and acknowledge our producers, Diane Dunnigan and Jim Dish, and our engineer, Brian Hockey Hitman Brock. Thank you for spending this hour with us. May God bless you throughout this weekend and every day of your life. Thank God it's today.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.